Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whereas, you know, it appears sometimes that maybe that doesn't have the strength that it needs. And we think, well, preach the gospel to many people, but not every creature, Brother Pike. Not everybody is going to leave what they're doing as to whether it be sports or money or whether it be offices or whatever, and hear the gospel. Not everybody's going to hear the gospel, but everybody will hear the gospel. Everybody. There will not be one left. Everyone will hear it. Whether it's by satellite of TV, whether it's by radio, whether it's by printed page, whether it's by testimony, whatever, God intends to let every living creature hear the gospel. And the end of the world cannot come till every creature has heard the gospel. And the Bible said when the gospel has gone into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Some would say, I don't think we really know when it's coming. Well, that's what the Bible says. That tells me pretty plain. When it goes into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. And the Bible teaches that we know about this wonderful coming of the Lord. Another thing that seems to be the error among the people is that, well, nobody knows when the Lord is coming or the end of the world. But it's plainly stated the end of the world is when everyone hears the gospel. There'd be no reason to let it go any farther. The one just going to do right will do right, and the one just not, there's no need to give more grace, because that would just allow for murderers and killers and adulterers and perverts and all kinds of things. And as to the coming of the Lord, do we know? The Bible said we're not children of darkness, but children of light, in that that day should come upon all the world as a snare upon all them that dwell on the earth. So shall it come. So the Bible said, be ye also ready, for in an hour ye think not the Son of Man comes. The last days, what will they say? Where is the promise of His coming, someone said, as they would say in the last days. All things remain the same as when our fathers fell asleep. But this, the Bible said, they're willingly ignorant of, and that is as a day. It is a day, 1,000 years with God, 1,000 years as a day. And the Bible said, ye being children of light, ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And I say so often, when somebody puts their hand on the doorknob, and they're at the door, that's as close as they can come without stepping on the inside. So we do know. The world shall not know. Why is it the world will not know? The world is filled with brilliant people. There are people so brilliant in the world till it's almost staggering if you communicate with some of them. But will they know? The Bible said that all of the knowledge of the world is foolishness to God. That's the greatest height that they obtained during their lifetime. All of their knowledge, science, which means knowledge, falsely so called, Paul said, ever learning and never able to find the knowledge of the truth. With all of their diplomacies of life and measuring themselves by themselves, they're not wise. And the Bible said, seeking honor one of another as two diplomacies, they stumble at the wonderful knowledge and glory of God, and they don't receive the honor which is of God. So then we do know that it's near at hand. And the signs of the time, do we know? He said, you discern the signs of the weather, and you know when it's going to be bad and when it's going to be good. He said to them, he said, you're hypocrites. He said, if you cannot discern the signs of the time, you are a hypocrite. So if I ask you tonight, and I started from this side and went all the way around, I say, how many of you discern the signs of the time? Now, if you could not discern the signs of the time, what must I say to you? I would say you're hypocrites, if I'm going to say what he said. And he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Now, should I say what the word says? So then that gives us a chance to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. The latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The good and the bad so close would see the very elect if possible, because the blood is on the seat of mercy. And as long as it's there, what can we say? I'll say this and might lose some of my congregation before we really get started reading here. But what can we say then? I say that we're all in heaven. Oh, no, somebody says. Oh, yes, we are. You just don't understand. That's all. Oh, but I don't believe that. That's all right. Now's a good time to start learning and believing. Somebody said, well, I believe what I believe and I know what I know. I know, but if you're planning to learn anything else, you're going to have to listen to the teacher, or you're just going to be a self-propelled person, and that's all you're ever going to know is what you already know, and you're never going to grow and learn anything. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's read this little thing right here. I'll read again the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. It says in the 33rd verse, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou wouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? That's a good thought. You can sit down right there. What would you that I should do for you? I think that's probably the question that the Lord would ask everybody, and certainly everybody has something that they would like for God to do for them. Now, I'd like to say again, I'm glad that you're here. It means a lot to me for you to be here. I appreciate you coming out to be with us. And that's what we want to do, is preach to people. The Bible said that it shall come to pass that every knee shall bow. Whether it's an atheist, whether it is a millionaire or a billionaire, whether it is a scholar, whether it is somebody in the upper echelon as a dignitary or whatever, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Every knee shall bow and acknowledge that He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. So we know that everybody at one time or another is going to repent. It may be too late like Judas, but they're going to repent. And now is the day of grace, and now is a good time to repent. Call upon the Lord while He's near. You know, if I ask you the question tonight, if I would say, do you really believe there's a God? Most likely you would say yes. Because even noted infidels that passed on when they were asked at the last minute, do you believe there's a God? They said, oh yes, I believe there's a God. I just don't believe it the way that people teach it. I have a different concept, but they did believe in there's a supreme power. God having fashioned all men's heart alike that they might seek after God. Even the Indians dancing around the totem pole or whatever it might be, everybody is looking for something because their heart is desiring a way out. Why? Because with all of the medical brilliance, all of the military strength, with all the money powers, people still have funerals and they still die. And though they pump their muscles and though they make their physiques nice as to trim their bodies up and they use it for the devil, for lust, and their intelligence to dispute what is godly and what is sound, but they still put them in a hole. Whether there be presidents or kings or whatever, they have one thing in the future to look forward to, and that is that they're going to dig a hole and they're going to put them down in it and throw the dirt on them. And none of these great, brilliant people have ever been able to change that. None of them, with their money and their power and their prestige and their kingship or whatever. As Jacob said, you go the way of all the earth. You pass the cemetery and you look and you know that's the end of all flesh, whether it's rich, poor, educated, or what. So then that puts us all on the same level. So we know that there's got to be a God, there's got to be an answer, and Christ is that answer. And we're looking for the Lord. We're searching. All men are searching for a way out. All these men that have money, all that a man's got in his wealth, his pride, his prestige, his position in life. The Bible said at death he'll give every bit of it for his life. And the Bible said, as in the book of Revelation, when the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, that they throw their money to the bats and they run and cry for the caves, the mountains, the rocks, to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, saying, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide? So that if I ask you tonight, I would say, now look, folks, do you believe there is a God? Of course, you would probably say yes. And then I would say, if you do believe there's a God, do you believe then that men actually die and go to heaven? And you would say, well, I believe that, Brother Pike. Then the question arises, do you believe there's dead folks in heaven? Of course not. Nobody dies and goes to heaven because there's no dead folks in heaven. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. For I am the Prince of Life, and the word abundant means filled up and overflow. That is the thing that we are looking at, the overflowing. See, we are not going to die. If I was going to die, then I just quit preaching, because what's the need of preaching and what's the need of telling people that they can have eternal life if they can't have eternal life? And if they're going to die and go to heaven, what's the need of trying to preach to them that they should live to get to heaven? So then something is out of balance somewhere. As I said to somebody the other day, I would say, in Monroe here, if everybody was dead, would you stay around them? Do the people that live in Monroe or the people that live in the other areas of California or Florida, wherever they might be, we've got people coming from all those places and people that are here. See, now, if I said to you, in your hometown, would you live there if you knew everybody was dead? You'd say, of course not. But yet you do live there, and the Bible said they're all dead, and some twice dead and plucked up by the roots. So then do we seek the living among the dead? No. Why should we seek the living among the dead? He said, come out from among them and get out of the graveyards. Come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So, when we ponder all of these things as to what the Lord is trying to tell us, most certainly He is trying to get something over to us. He is trying to make us understand. Do all men die? Of course, all men die to the extent that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Then, do I have to die as a man born into the world? Yes. Well, what happens? Does everybody have to die? Oh, no. Why is it that they do not have to die? Because we are already dead by Calvary through the shed blood of Jesus. And the Bible says that to them that are born again, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and unto the world, and alive unto God. Delivered for our offenses as He was in the image of sin, and raised again for our justification as in a new form. So then we reckon ourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus unto sin, and being buried with Him in baptism in His lovely name for the remission of sin, since remission is in none other name. Then we're resurrected with Him in the newness of life, that we might live again. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new, and we are a new creature in Christ. And folks, to get into that tonight, just to talk about that a little bit, it would take all night long, and when the morning comes, we'd just be getting started. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you're not supposed to exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating, so help me God, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and I'm not exaggerating at all. I'm telling you exactly the way it is. So in the world they say, tell it like it is. I say this again tonight as I said last night. The Bible said, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Come out of the world. Now someone would say, Brother Pike, surely you must be eccentric. Talking about coming out of the world? Paul said, as to come away from the fornicators and the liars and the cheats, and all of these things of the world, you can't get out of the world in the sense that you walk among these people. He said to be able to do that, you just have to leave the face of the earth. You can't do that. But He said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things. So for as your spiritual indwelling being, there's an outer man and there's an inner man. There's a spirit world, there's a natural world. And you are as a creature, as a body, subjected to the vanities of this natural life, of your human senses, and you are relative to these things because you thrive off of these things and you survive by means of these things. And God, the great eternal spirit, the great Father of spirits, has subjected your body, even your outer being that's called the creature. He has subjected it to these vanities. And if we went into the revelation of that, that would take all night long. Well, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery. And Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto the spiritual. And we're the church is supposed to be spiritual. He's our overseer. And he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. One
God, one Spirit, many operations. That God will grant unto you the Spirit of revelation. See, so that you might know this wonderful thing. And John said, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, the time is at hand. And he that is just, let him be just still. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He said, and the liar and the fornicator and the pervert and all these other people, they will have no part in the kingdom of God, because that's evil spirits. And those demon spirits that wandering around through the intellectual darkness of your human reasoning by the old tree of knowledge that started with Satan, Lucifer, who infiltrated the flesh, they're still wandering around today. Satan, being the god of this world, he seeks to strengthen his kingdom by putting demon spirits or fallen angels into human bodies and making his army grow greater and confiscating the entire earth, the government and everything in it, and turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or that is lavishly doing what they want to, during the time of grace, until the time of grace is up and the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, and Satan finds himself out in the darkness as the ruler of the darkness, which he really is, and all of his subjects will be out there with him. Because as long as the church is here, there is light, which means understanding, and there's going to be some forms of government that are good throughout the world, and we preached around the world, and there's going to be some governments that are good around the world. There's going to be some good. But at the same time, the bad is going to be there, because as long as this mercy is there, the rain is coming down upon the just and upon the unjust. And the little tare out in the field, it dances and hollers and has just as good a time when it rains as the wheat does. Because all of it lives by the same water and the same sunlight. But when the church is gone and the light is gone, which means understanding, then the people of the world, with all of their educational systems, with all their diplomacies, they will be completely ignorant. And as I've said so many times, in that intellectual darkness, though they learned, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible said they won't even be able to perfect even a bottle of healing medicine to relieve the pain, to let you know that all of this, as to the medicine that doeth good, or as a merry heart like a medicine, and all of these blessings that come down are from God. And those people out there are not intelligent. It's foolishness to God. But they are reflecting the light of the sons of God. And these people that are actually gods, Jesus said they're gods, because a god cannot die, and they're gods. They pass from death unto life, and they cannot die. And the world is reflecting this light. And as soon as this light goes out, they're in intellectual darkness to the extent that death will not even bring relief. Death will flee from them. And they will be altogether intellectually ignorant. Paul said, blinded by the ignorance that is within them. And they won't be able to understand nothing as to a government. They'll gnaw their tongues for pain. So then we know that being under the blood is a great day. Having the mercies of God is a great time. Call upon the Lord while He is near, and while He can hear you. Because you should work while it is day, for soon the night cometh. As to an intellectual confiscating, and no man can work then. Because Antichrist will do his own thing. And the mark of the beast is right on you. I hope you don't mind me just talking when I come in here like this to collect your minds and your thoughts. See, the mark of the beast is on you. We'd made the statement that the mark of the beast would come through the German mark. That's the way the mark of the beast would come. And sure enough, all of a sudden, why did they choose, out of all the monies of the world, as to a stabilized medium of exchange, why did they choose the German mark? And why is it that the 19 countries is coming together over there as to this common market and many things that we could say about it tonight? Why did they come together to choose the German mark? Because it says you'll not be able to buy and you'll not be able to sell unless you have the mark. And coming to the commodities of all the world, which will stop coming to America and be cut short over there on the other side of the ocean to save that charge of shipping overseas. And people will have to purchase from it. And if you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll see that this great, great common market is going to come up. And when it comes up, all the commodities are going there. Seeing the German mark is going to be the medium of exchange. And from the German mark, it will work itself into a computerized number that will be under the powers, even as the Belgium thing that we've seen over there, the great computers. Everything is going into a numerical order. We made the statement years ago that it would move into a numerical order, and I said in the major thing it will move to is the Social Security number. At that time, a Social Security number was just a little card, and you get it to work, or that was all there was to it. But since then, they've moved it as to the military power. They put that number as a Social Security number. And all of the numbers that seems to be of major significance is now the Social Security number. And it's all moving into the social thing as a social trend that it might bring it around to the mark. And with the mark, bring it around to the number. And the Bible said, consider this number. He that hath understanding, let him count this. For it is the number of a man, and that number is 666. And of course, we're not going to preach tonight as to the Antichrist. But I can tell you he's well on his way. And I can tell you that with the laser, it won't be long. And you'll be carrying the number. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that the church is going to go through all of this? That we're going to have to reject that number? No, the church isn't going through that. I'm just telling you that's how close it is. If the number is that close that already they've chosen the German mark for the medium of exchange, can you imagine how close the rapture of the church, as you refer to it as the rapture, how close the translation of the church is and the light going out? And the Bible said it's to Lot being symbolic of the church the very day that he went out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God rained the fire and brimstone. Have you ever been to Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm sure that some of you have. I know that some of you went into Israel with me, being there about 10 different times and preaching over in those countries, Egypt and around in Israel, whatever. You go by Sodom and Gomorrah. We've done it by the mountain Masada. And we know that it's just exactly like what the Lord said. See, so Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Something is about to happen. Something is on the verge of happening, and the thing is that this meeting that we're having here is not just another gathering that we might shout and praise God, even though we should shout and praise God. We should give God all of the praises, the honor, and the glory, and subject our body, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. See, we should do that, and we should be thankful to God that God has allowed us to be in this little assembly tonight. For around the world, hundreds of thousands of people will gather in churches, and it will mean absolutely nothing. Even though you would question that, you know, and you would think that I was vainly puffed up by my fleshly mind, there's no need for me to try to struggle or strive here in trying to express what I mean by that. You're going to have your opinion anyways, like the old Chinese proverb, a person convinced against their will, they're of the same opinion still. And it doesn't matter what you preach, it doesn't matter what you say. When they go out, they're going to have it their way, and anything that you brought out that's good, that they like, they'll incorporate it within their lifestyle to do what they want to with it and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. But at the same time, they are then guilty before God because they have heard the gospel. See, and you are not charged with the problem anymore. They're guilty. You've done your work. And when they do this, it means that they are beasts and they are blind. The Bible said in this great, wonderful light that's called understanding, that this light shines in darkness, but the darkness cannot comprehend it. Because you have to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful revelation. If I was a teacher, I was up here and I was teaching you some kind of something as to numerical order, and I was teaching you as to the formulated way of life that you might understand the formulas to come to the hidden answer as to the mystery, then I'd go through all of these ritualistics and all of these things that teachers go through with. Whereas Paul said, I am a preacher and a teacher. But see, all of that, as a symbolism, has nothing to do with real life. It helps you in this life as to a world of vanity. But the light, the Bible said, gross darkness shall cover the people as to this intellectual concept of brilliance as it was down in Babylon when the king walked around and said, look at what I've got. Look at what I've done and the vision that Daniel had and the handwriting come on the wall as meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle, you farcing, your weight in the balances, found wanting, and as it was with Nebuchadnezzar there when he walked around, saw all of these things, and even as his grandson done, and all of a sudden the hand of God began to move, and God turned him into a beast and put him out in the field, let his nails grow out like the people of today. I said he let his nails grow out like the people of today. I've seen women with them sticking out there. I couldn't hardly believe my eyes. Perverted in mind, no understanding. He lost his understanding and his hair growed down to here like the people of today. Running around with the hair down here, men, the Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but the hair slapped down to here, hanging down to here. What was it like? The Bible said his hair grew out like feathers and his nails grew out like claws. Why was it? He lost his mind. What's happened to the people today? They've lost their minds. Let's give the Lord a hand. They've gone spiritually crazy. They don't have any understanding. Why is that? Because God is calling the church out. And God is beginning to get the people that do have good understanding out. And they're going into that darkness, just like I said, and won't even have enough understanding to even have a physician to bring them any relief from gnawing their tongues like an epileptic. Staying not too long ago over in somewhere, I can't remember, Missouri, I believe it was. And there a man just fell out right in front of him, began to gnaw his tongue, blood and whatever, just a mess. His head hit the concrete like that. You know, as to an attack, a devil seized upon him. Folks, what are we talking about tonight? Reality. Not fantasism. Think now. What did I say about this world as to what God said? He that God sendeth will speak God's word. What did I say about it? I said that all that is of the world. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you need to preach against this and you need to preach against that. But let's don't take everything in, Brother Pike. But nevertheless, the Bible said all of the world, all of the world, all of the world, America and Germany and all of the world. And the Bible said everything that's in the world, including me and including you and including everything else, and all that is in the world as to the first birth. And what is that? The Bible said it is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. It is the image as to the bastard child. And God said, I'll hate it in the morning when the day star starts dawning. All of the world. And you know, and when we come down to these things, people go out a lot of times like blackbirds. But is all of these things of the world of God? Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you won't have a congregation if you preach against those things. Like a man told me one time out in Colorado, there on the tent, he said, Brother Pike, if I preach what you say, I won't have any congregation. Half of my congregation will leave. I said, well, isn't that what it's all about? The Bible said to separate the sheep from the goats. Are you trying to take the goats in too? Jesus said, I'm not sent, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Somebody said, well, you sound rude. I know Paul said we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. So then what does the preacher do? Somebody says, but you don't have to shout. The Bible says lift up your voice like a trumpet. You ever heard a trumpet sound? You ever been in service early in the morning? Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people. Somebody says, God's people, the religious people of the world, said, show them of their sins. They come to church and they come before me and they act like a people that have never done any wrong, but they did do wrong, and said, show them of their sins. I said, but Lord, that's your people. My people, he said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The Laodicean church age, all of my tables are filled with vomit. All that is of the world is corruption. Every man is turned to his own way. There's none good, no, not one. Every man is turned to his own quarter for his own gain. And God has laid upon Jesus Christ, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity for all of us. And he was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was placed upon his backs, by whose stripes we're healed. The Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. Folks, tell me something. Can you go down to the beach and strip your clothing off and run up and down the beach half naked and be holy in body? Don't we have more sense in that and more understanding than that?
Can you go out to ball games and scream like a wild Indian after somebody that's half naked with their dress or doing the things they're doing and breaking each other's neck and walling around like a bunch of hogs in the mud, scream and holler and sit out there and be holy in body? And do you tell me that that's God? It's like a vision that I had. I spoke of this vision where I was in this vision, and I heard this hollering, I heard the screaming, and I looked over here way off in the distance, and here was a great place where it looked like they was having a meeting. I mean, it looked like they was having a hallelujah time. I looked over there, and I thought, my God, let me get in the middle of that, because I could hear them talking about the Lord. When I got over there in the middle of it, I found it was a ball game. And I was literally shocked. I thought, let me get out of this place. They was over there praying for the ball team. My God, what an abomination. What a foolishness. What an ignorance. Somebody take the blood of Jesus. And with something like that, apply it to that kind of foolishness. No wonder Jesus said they're pigs and they're dogs and my table are full of vomit and they're wallowing in the mire. The old sow, you can wash her up and make her look as religious as you want to, but when you turn her loose, she goes back to that old ugly mind of hers and she wallers in the mire. And the dog, you can take him and clean him up, but he goes back and he laps his vomit. Somebody say hallelujah. This is camp meeting. This is camp meeting. Now, I didn't preach like this last night, did I? I went into Revelation, went into Deep Mysteries and all these things, and I taught real kind and real gentle-like, and now here you are hollering, screaming. Well, a preacher, he's like that. Full of surprises, especially some of them in the day we're living in. But nevertheless, what has the church done? The church, instead of coming against this, has reached out and embraced this thing. And said, this is ours. We're going to have our own ball team. And we're going to have our own society. And we're going to incorporate these into our church so that we can get people to come to church. Why do you do that? Since you are a devil, why don't you go out and join the bunch of devils instead of getting them into the house of God to defile the house of God? That's why Jesus turned over the money tables. That's why he popped the whip. He said, my Father's house should be called of all nations a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Because the Bible said Satan is a thief and a robber. Did you not read in the book of Revelation? It says, and when the woman was heavy with child and fixing to bring forth, there the Bible speaks of it. When she was heavy with child, John saw her in heaven. I said, tonight, there is a heavenly thing that you don't understand unless you're in God. And there she was in heaven fixing to bring forth her child. And the Bible said just as quick as she brought forth her child, what did it say? Somebody said, let's put him on the ball team. Oh, no, somebody says. Oh, yes. Talking about reality. The Bible said the old red dragon, the blood life, that life of reproduction from this passion that we have and this gullible desire of human senses as to a stimulation that's unreasonable, overcharged by demon spirits. See, wasn't that what it said? It said, and Satan was laying right there, the old red dragon, ready to devour the child as soon as he was born. And in the churches today, that old intellectual scholar is laying right there with his mind so much on the world and the mind don't know nothing about God, that God's a spirit, he don't know nothing about nothing. And he's laying there and he's wanting to make him be somebody in the community as to be an individual that is a celebrity so it can bring some kind of prestige to the church or be some ball player or something in the world. Whatever it is, he's waiting to devour him with his intellectual devouring. John said, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? And he laid the axe to the root of the tree and he cut that whole generation as to that family tree down all the way back to the garden. And then Jesus stood up as another family tree and as the tree of life. And the Bible said the beginning of the creation of God is to the restoring of sonship as it was with Adam before he fell from his wonderful illumination that made him a son of God. All right, so then we know where we're going, we know where we've been, we know where we're at. See, is ball games of God, is sports. I say ball games, that's not really the proper term. See, is sports of God? No. Well, what is it of? It's of the devil. Oh, somebody. You know, they almost think today that you blaspheme when you talk like that. There's so much in sports, and sports is so much in them, and they're so interwoven until they think that's almost blasphemy. Folks, sports is of the devil. It's the mind of the devil. There's nothing more filthy, more low down than sports. Even over here in Athens, with what they call the Bulldogs or whatever it is, they have the big drunken parties. They vomit. It's such a mess until it's unreal. And they intermingle themselves, male with female. And the Bible said dishonor their bodies because they have not a love for the truth. God has given them up to a reprobate mind, sent them strong delusion, caused them to believe a lie, turned them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Because they won't believe the word of God. They won't believe the truth. They don't love the truth. And they don't like to retain truth in their understanding. What is this that you would that I should do for you, Jesus said. The question arises tonight. What would you that Jesus should do for you? Do you have something that you would like for him to do for you? There is something he can do for you. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. He will make you what you ought to be. Just follow me, Peter, and I'll make you. But folks, let me tell you something. It's high time that you awake. And it's high time that you begin to reason soberly. Your government's gone. Your morals is gone. Your decency is gone. People have actually accepted this way of life as a lifestyle. They've accepted this to just say, well, what can we do? You know, isn't it that way? Folks, you can't do that. You know, you could get in prison. And you can say, well, I can't get out. The bars has got me. I just have to accept it. And that's true. That's true. And that's what you've done. You've gotten yourself into prison, and the Bible said you'll not come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. But I'm telling you, today is a day of deliverance. Today is a day of release. And we're not under the law, and we're not under curse, and we're not under sickness, we're not under poverty, we're not under the powers of this world when we believe God. And we can come out of it, and we can be free from it, and we can be children of God. Not only children of God, but you pass from death into life, and you can leave that thing out there and come into the wonderful presence of God as to come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So this is the great opportunity of deliverance. This is the great time of release. This is the great time for your innermost being as a spiritual being to pull a loose from the things of this world, as to the perversion of mind, as to casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ, every thought. Now is your opportunity. And you know what? You actually get to believing that that's all right out there. And you make fellowship with the devils, and when you hear the truth, you can't understand nothing. And you find yourself, as Paul was, a great intellectual religious scholar, and killing the people of God and persecuting the people of God, and thought he was doing something right. And it wasn't until he was on the way to Damascus that God struck him down. And when the scales fell from his eyes by the great light that showed him that he was blinded by that, he heard a voice saying, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. You're persecuting me. And Paul thought he was doing a religious thing. The Bible said in the latter time, they'll kill you and feel that they do God a service. They've just about got that way now. If you tell anything from the Bible, then they say you are a cult. You are a cult. Can you imagine a dog standing up on his hind feet looking at a man and saying, you are a monkey. You are a monkey. That's just how stupid that is. Can you imagine anybody with a little old scholar from a bald-headed professor that don't know his right hand from his left standing up and calling God's people a cult because they speak of the word of God when this is the only truth there is and only history that's ever been proven? It's no wonder God said that we would rise and take the kingdom after Satan has worn us out. And somebody says, I know that that's a cult. You say, how do you know that? Because it is a documented fact. How stupid. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, how stupid. Can the creature, the thing that's made, stand up to God and say, why hast thou made me thus? Doesn't the potter have power over the clay to do what he wants to? Well, maybe I'm getting a little strong. Anyway, you know, it just seems so unreasonable to me. The Bible said to separate yourself from unreasonable people. That's so unreasonable, folks, for people to think like that. And people that are supposed to be intelligent, that studied all of their life. Don't you love Jesus? You know, I ain't going to preach to you as long as I did last night. I went quite a long while last night. And I could just go on. I tell you, I just love to talk about God. My, I could just go on and go on and go on. But nevertheless, I'm saying these few little things as by way of remembrance. Peter said, though I know that you know these things, but as long as I, the spiritual angelic being, dwells in this tabernacle of clay, I feel that I should stir up your pure mind in the Lord and bring these back by way of remembrance. You are a good people. You come to listen to the gospel. No man is bad just by nature as to his creative presence that come from God. All things emanate from God. But folks, we're going to have to come to a realization that somewhere, after God made Adam as a son of God and made him upright, that he lost his balance somewhere. And the Bible said he was under the sin, under death. And all men, because of that being born of him, are under the penalty of sin unto death. But in Christ Jesus, that one man's sin caused all to be under the penalty of death. And if by the sins of one man all people are under the sentence of death, then by one man's obedience unto life, Christ, all men are under righteousness. And through that we believe unto righteousness by believing in what he did for us. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death, this old perverted creature that we pet and pamper so much? Making provisions for, as the Bible said, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire thereof. See what the law could not do, even though it was spiritual and good, but being weak as through the flesh, that is our weakness to perform it, it could not deliver us. But when Jesus came, the Bible said God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, nailed it to Calvary, took it out of the way, and said, I'm no respect to person, let whosoever will come. Your mind, if you'll believe on the Son of God, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And without respect to person, I sent him there for you. I did not send him to condemn the world because the world was condemned already because of the sins of Adam. But I sent him to bring you salvation. But I did send him to condemn sin in the flesh, and I condemned it in the flesh at Calvary, and I nailed it to the cross, and it's all gone. And if you'll believe on me, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man can go to the Father but by me. Remission of sin in none other name, beginning at Jerusalem, then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission shall be taught in his name. And he said to the minister, you are the minister of God. You bear not the sword in vain. Cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. If you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. And you're set there to execute vengeance upon them that do evil. And you're set there as God to bless them that do good. You can bless a curse. As it was said, even of Balaam, who you bless, or whoever you curse. So then we're being the ministers of God. He said, as my Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. As to the ministers, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so then here we are with the name Jesus, preaching the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And teaching that you need to repent of your sins, be baptized or buried in a watery grave in that lovely name. And that ye should come forth as a new creature to serve God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, going on to the full reward. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand together. Everybody, let's stand together. I appreciate you being here tonight. It's wonderful to be able to talk with you and tell you about Jesus. We've got some fine people here, and some of them that I do not know, and I try to acknowledge people as much as I can. If we come to the church over here, you know, wherever you come from, if they'll send me a little note or they'll tell me something or I can find out what's going on, then I try to acknowledge you because I know that you come a long ways and that you are interested or you would not have stopped by. I'm glad to have Brother Chris from the Philippines who was with us in our great Philippine crusade when the multiplied hundreds of people poured into the altar there. And he is very precious to me. Also, a work that he keeps going in the Philippines as to a work or works in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's a very outstanding man in the areas of the Philippines. He is a man of renown. He's been before thousands and multiplied thousands of people on TV and in crusades and whatever. And he's come all the way from the Philippines to be here with us. And I appreciate that. That's so wonderful. Great men of renown. And we're not speaking evil of dignitaries tonight, because real statesmen, real dignitaries, real people that stand for the right thing has given us a great democracy and a great world. But folks, let me tell you, the generation that's coming on today, there are some that's so bad until they're tearing down every decency. They're stealing every moral. They're living like dogs and animals. And they're not making any effort at all to leave any footprints in the sands of time as to greatness, that people may see them as a light and lean upon them as a great pillar. So the government, the Bible said, shall be upon the shoulders of the sons of God. And the hour is now near as to the manifestation of the sons of God. For, as I said, Satan worn out the saints. They'll rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Let's sing this little chorus together. Now, one thing I remember, we got Pete. I think Pete's getting married tomorrow. Is that right, Pete? And I don't know where it's at. Somebody says it's over here and somebody says it's over yonder. And I don't know where it's at, so I don't know what to say. Oh, here. Okay, that's Pete's mother. Yeah, we're certainly glad to have her. And I guess maybe this is some relatives. Is that right? Well, praise God. Let's give those folks a hand, okay? It's been a long time since we preached in Ohio. Brother Taylor here, we met him there. He was in college there in Ohio, just fixing to get his degree there. When we met him over in Ohio, and his wife, a valedictorian in her class there, such an outstanding nurse that when the doctors knew that she was around, it was said that they didn't even bother to come. Sometimes they said, Linda can handle it. But anyway, we're certainly glad to have these people. It's a real privilege to have them come here. I know some of them's from Texas. All of them from Texas. That's great. I know we have Jerry here from Mississippi. We have our brother Baldwin and his sister Baldwin. We had a chance to talk with them just a little bit today. And there's so many that's here. Brother Marin was down from Tennessee. And Brother Randall and his family down from Mississippi. And just so many of them here from different places. I know we've got some that's coming up from Florida. I don't know whether they're here tonight or not. We have the Greens that come down from up near the Virginia line up in, I think, I always get it mixed up. I think maybe it's the Carolinas as to the Big Gap or something. But anyway, we have them here. And we have the Greens that has supported our ministry for a long time coming to the camp meeting here, whereas they've been to numbers of our camp meeting and they've been to numbers of our meetings. And we have some others that's coming in. If they're not here from Florida, they will be in from Florida. Betty just talked to some of them on the telephone and they're wanting to come. We have some of our brothers and sisters that are supposed to come in from Humboldt, Tennessee, that hasn't come in yet. And quite a number of people that will be coming in from different places all around the nation. And some in the different parts of the world. So we want to worship the Lord. This is camp meeting time. And as I say, folks, this is not just another camp meeting. You really need to listen during this camp meeting and take in everything you can, because after this camp meeting, there's going to be some things that happen that's going to be real phenomenal, and it's going to seem real strange, and it's going to affect the entirety of humanity. So you need to think this over very seriously, because this meeting has great, great significance. I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals tonight. Rather than preach to you about coming out of the world, I would that you'd already come out of the world. And I'd love to talk to you along the lines of the indoctrination of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that Paul received such a thing that took him into the third heaven, and such a thing that John received as the revelation that took him also into heaven.
at such a thing as to the coming of the Lord. It is said, as to the revelation, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And with this, it takes the church up into heaven. And of course, it is right here on us now. So it would be good. Last night, I felt the yoke break. People was praising God. And I felt the yoke break, and they were having a good time. The Francises was here last night. They were shouting and praising God, and it was real genuine. There was no make-believe about it. And people that love the Lord, sometimes the Spirit of God moves on them, and they just shout and praise God. And sometimes people do like Jesus, where Jesus, he just sighed in his spirit, and he didn't shout. But on the other hand, when David saw the Ark of the Covenant coming in, he just danced and hollered and praised God. So it just depends on how the Spirit affects you. It hit old brother Ezekiel, and he took off like a plane and went through the air and went down to the Valley of Dry Bones. So it depends on whatever the Spirit wants to do. Well, that's what you'll be doing if you walk in the Spirit. Love the Lord. All of you that, and I know there's a number of you here because I've heard different ones speak of people that have come in. All of you that are here, I want you to know that I love and appreciate you. Welcome to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We're actively engaged in world evangelism and trying to win souls and do something for our Heavenly Father to be about our Father's business, that we might bring in this wonderful government that I saw in a vision just a few days ago that come in. So, let's remember that. And let's praise the Lord tonight. Can we do that? Can we sing a chorus together, Brother Taylor? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me now? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail no more. And though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Sing this with me now. I need thee, my Lord. I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I... Now the altars are open. While we're singing, the altars are open. If you'd like to step up. Don't turn him away. Turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Won't you let Jesus in to stay? For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day.
Savior and hear His loving voice. And don't turn Him away. Without Him, I can do nothing.
Can you sing that one?
And without Him, I would but fail. And without Him, I would be drifting just like a ship without any sail.
Sing that with me now.
Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, won't you hear Him today? Oh, don't turn Him away, Jesus, precious Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, Son could die in their place. And He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His marvel.
Sing that with us.
Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see it. With Him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvels. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvels.
Sing it with me.
Thank God. I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday we're gonna see His sweet face. With Him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
One more time.
Thank God. See the bridge over the river. To and abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous. Hallelujah. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody.
Makes me
love everybody. Love everybody, and it's good enough. I got that old, did you know? If we get the old time religion, there wouldn't be no racial strife, there wouldn't be no war, there wouldn't be no problems, wouldn't be no sickness. Got that old time religion, got that old time religion, got that old time religion, and let's give him a wave over. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Cause it's good enough from me. It makes me sing when I get happy.
Makes me
sing when I get happy. Serving God's joy, peace.
I get happy.
Oh, it's good enough for me. I've got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Oh, time religion, and it's good enough. You better get the old time religion.
While we're singing tonight, praising the Lord, and while they're playing on the organs, and Brother Taylor and him will just keep on singing and playing.
Better get the old time religion.
Better get the old time religion.
Better get the old time religion, that's the only kind for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Oh, it's goody one more time. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. That's the kind, folks, that we need. I got that old time religion.
Got that old
while they're singing
religion. Got that old time religion.
Doing the camp meeting, we wanted to pray for the sick. We didn't pray for the sick last night.
All to heaven.
I felt the anointing last night in a great, mighty way. I know that God was doing things last night because I can feel the yoke breaking.
Give me that old.
The first night of the camp meeting, I told Betty, I said, I felt the yoke break. The first night.
It's good enough for me.
While they're singing and playing,
religion, give me that old time.
We prayed for. You don't mind stepping up here across the ramp. We're going to pray for you.
Love everybody makes me love. Everybody makes me love. Everybody.
And I know that the whole world is practically, the whole world is sick. Hospitals, problems, demon possession, demon oppression. It's a horrible, horrible situation. So tonight, we're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to try from night to night to pray for the sick. And we want you to believe the Lord while we're praying.
Give me that old time religion.
I want you to pray with us. I want my minister friends to come around to the back right here and come up on the platform with me. If you're a minister of God and you love the Lord, then you need to step out and let people know that you are a minister.
It will take us.
You need to stand for something and stand with somebody. And if you don't stand for the truth, you're going to stand for something else, folks.
Good enough for me.
I've got that old time religion. Old time religion.
Got that
old time religion, and it's good enough for me. You better get that old time religion. You better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion, cause it's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy.
Makes me sing when I get happy.
Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good. One more time. I've got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. It's goody. One more time. Let's give him a wave offering. Time religion. Old time. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without grasping, without doubting. When you lift up those hands, it reminds God of the crucifixion. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. Got that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him a hand, can you? How do you believe the Lord's here tonight? The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Do you feel liberty tonight? How do you guys feel liberty tonight? Hello there, Chris. Hallelujah. This was Brother Chris, the one I was talking about from over in the Philippines. I don't think you've been up here on the platform since you come, have you, Chris? Have you already been up here since you come in on the platform? First time. How do you appreciate Chris? Comes a long, long way from the great Philippines. A lot of wonderful people over in the Philippines. And I remember when we were praying for the sick over there. There's so many people come across the ramp. The ramp broke. And I thought, oh my God, you've got to do something. That thing fell about that far, but I don't know whether the angel of the Lord caught it or who caught it, but it stopped. But there was pouring across that. So then the Lord was moving and the Lord was blessing. And tonight, we're here to worship the Lord. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little chorus, brother. He was here all the time. Sing that with me now. My Lord was here all the time.
and he was here. Think about that now. As the songwriter said, it must have been cold standing off in the shadows, letting you get all the glory for everything that you accomplish in life, to let you get the glory and stand off in the shadows, waiting for you to finish all that you was doing as to your ambition and things of life, that he might step out at the very time when the sunlight of your life was going down, and when the shadows of death creep over you, for him to step out and say, "Son, daughter, how does things look?" And hear you say, "Lord, it don't look so good. When I was young and full of zip, I'd done all of these things. I thought I just had to have life and have things. But then the sunset of your life comes. And you look around and you think, and who shall I leave them to?" As Solomon said, maybe a fool. And you realize that all of it belonged to him. Let's realize the thing as it is and tell it like it is, that everything is his. And as to us, we've done nothing at all. All that we ever was lost in the fall. And when we think of it like it is, then we know that all of it is his. So then tonight, realizing that when you go to depart from this world, that the only treasure you have is Jesus. And the only thing that you have to take with you is what you've done for Christ. So tonight, let's look at it like it is and remember that all of these things are his. Let's sing this together. He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time. Patiently in line, standing there in the shadows, but he was here all the time. Think about it now. And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Sing that with me now. And all the joys that flood my soul. Something. I want the brethren to come up here and pray with me. Come on up a little further, Tommy, right here. Come on up a little further. For Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Lift your hands up and sing it. For Jesus touched me. Can you sing that with us as we pray? Come on around, brethren. Pick out somebody here and lay your hands on them. And let's pray together. Can you come on up, Brother Herman, the others? Brother Chris, can you come on up, brother? We're going to pray in faith tonight, believing God. And we're going to ask God tonight to heal sick bodies. Jesus said, if you ask it in my name, I'll do it. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I'm the God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities. I heal all of your diseases. Tonight, God cares. The Lord cares. He took your place at Calvary. You're not under the curse anymore. You're out from under the curse, which means you have right to divine deliverance tonight. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Oh, yes. He touched me. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. And all the joys that flood my soul, something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. As we sing it, once again, just pass on through. Oh, he touched me. Let him touch you tonight. Let him touch you. We used to sing under the tent. I remember Brother Ben Gahaley, a person that used to sing with us. And he sang that song, "Reach out and touch the Lord." And tonight, The Lord will touch you. Just step right on up. Step right up, Sister Marie. Step right up, the others right here. Different ones, step right around there and lay your hands on these people while John's praying for somebody. Brother Coon, others pray for these people. Come up there, Philip, and lay your hands on these people. Brother Dale, y'all come up there and pray for these people. Lay your hands on them over here, brother, as they come up. Brother John, come around, son, and pray for them. Let's lift our hands up and let's love the Lord tonight. This is camp meeting. And we're here to worship God. And faith in Christ will make you whole tonight and bring you joy and abundance. Jesus that you might said that you might have life and that filled up and overflowing tonight. So let's love the Lord. Lift your hands up. You ladies out here, point your hands over this way in your hearts toward God and use your faith tonight. If you believe God wants to use you, stand there and believe tonight that God will heal these people and receive a blessing in your own life tonight as they pass on through, as they pray for them tonight. As He goes by, reach out and touch the Lord. As He goes by, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Always passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Are you believing with me?
Just reach
out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Let's sing this little chorus. Have faith in God. Can you raise it just a little? Let's have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for your healing. Have faith, raise it in. Let's sing that together. Have faith in God. Can you? Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Just have faith. In God. Do you have any faith in God tonight? Do you have any faith in the Word tonight? I am the Lord God that healeth thee. God sent His Word and healed them. And the Bible said, but the Word of God, He cast out the unclean spirits. And He sent His Word as to salvation. And He said, let there be and there was. And tonight, faith in God makes you whole just by believing in the Lord. If you want to be prayed for tonight, now's the time to step up here and let Him pray for you.
Just have
faith
in God.
Sing it with me now. Let's worship the Lord. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. How beautiful. One more time. Have faith in God. Can you sing that with me? Just have faith in God.
Oh,
I'll appreciate Brother Herman. Known him for a long time. He's a straight man all the way. He loves the Lord. Said he just wants us to pray for him. God will give him a revelation of the Word. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is camp meeting time. We're supposed to praise the Lord, love the Lord. Come here so people can get deliverance. Hallelujah. Let's sing another one. All right, let's praise the Lord a little bit in song tonight. And after that, we're going to let you go. But before we do, I want you to love the Lord a little bit. And let's praise Him in song tonight. Can you sing this little chorus? Will you be a million years from now? Sing that with me. Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. I wonder why Brother Green isn't up in here. Just one life to live on earth, and its will be passed by from the moment of our birth until it's time to die. God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. A million years, where will you be? Sing that with me. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? While the ages flow throughout eternity, I ask this question, where will you be? And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you like the lilies, they're blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. I thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I think for the valleys, sing that one more time. And to thank you for every time the sun shines. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. Thank you for the valleys. Oh, You love the Lord. Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord? Sing this, of course. I see loved ones over yonder. Their tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons as the hills start calling me. This house of clay is but a prison. These bars of bone, they're holding me. But the doors of clay, it's gonna burst wide open as the hills of start calling me. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me. And time shall be no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land. Can you lift your hands up to heaven and close your eyes tonight? Shall be no more. Sing it for me again. And time. The Bible said in Revelation, the book of Revelation, no more, 10 and 7, that the mighty angel set one foot on the land and set one foot on the sea and lifted his hands to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. That time should be no more. I said the other night, where did time come from and where did time go to? Why was it that he said that time shall be no more? So then we know that we're living in the very essence of time. And we know that we are down at the end of the way. And this thing that's called time is beginning to dissipate. It's beginning to go away. And if it's beginning to go away, then people that are time creatures will fade away with it. But you that are not time creatures, you came from eternity. Jesus said, I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. And the Bible said, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And if he came from heaven and we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, we're not of this world, even as Jesus was not of this world. He said, you're not of this world. You came from heaven. And our life is hid with Christ in God. And we are they. that God has translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men are pressing their way into it, and they preach the kingdom of God in Jesus' name for an entrance into that wonderful kingdom. So then, knowing the time is no more, then we should be prepared and we should be ready. Because if time is no more, then that means that we're right there with our Savior. Right there with our Savior. We're two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. I make you to sit together in these heavenly places. I've chosen you out of the world, and you're not in the flesh. I've hid you with Christ in God, the Father said. Until the time of the restitution and the restoring of all things. What a beautiful moment this camp meeting is. This camp meeting has a spiritual significance throughout the entire world. And so then we're here tonight to worship the Lord. Once again, we'll sing it together. And time shall be no more for the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it again now. For time. You are the generations upon whom the ends of the world have come, Peter said. And now your generation is yours to Calvary. And time has been taken away in Christ Jesus. For the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And today, we're not time creatures. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. In this world, you've already been born again. You're elect of God, and you can never die. So time. Father of heaven, touch this little one tonight. May the compassion of God be upon the little one tonight. You said, suffer the little ones to come unto thee, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And tonight, touch his little body, increase his faith, and bless him, Father. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee from this congregation tonight. As the hand of God goes out over this congregation tonight, the Lord rebuke thee, even the Lord Jesus. Take your hands off of this congregation, Satan, for the body belongs to the Lord, and you are a trespasser. And you have no right to it tonight. It's the Lord's. It's been redeemed at Calvary's, the person's possession. And tonight you take your hands off of these people, of the fear, the despondency, all of these things that terrorize and terrify these people. You move away from them tonight. And you leave this camp meeting that these people may be free and worship God in spirit tonight. As to the Heavenly Father, the great Father of spirits. For time shall be no more, and I'm gonna praise him. I will praise him. I'll praise the Lamb for sinners. Lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight now. Father, I want you to heal these people. I want your spirit to fill these people tonight. And I want you to bring a little faith into America and into the hearts of people. And I want you to stir the people, Father, in America to where they can come back to the foundations of the fathers and ask for the old landmarks to walk therein to find peace to their soul. So I will pray him. I will praise him. Father, heal these bodies tonight. Anoint these ministers tonight. May the great, wonderful Christ of God be in their hearts tonight. And may the yoke be broken. And may the anointing to preach the gospel and tell the wonderful love story of our Savior be here tonight. Can you love him tonight? Can you praise him tonight? Can you believe him tonight? Can you believe you're out from under the curse? Can you believe that sin is gone? Can you believe that God has given you healing, salvation, prosperity, blessings, and eternal life? Do you believe that tonight? Folks, if you don't believe that, you need to start believing right now, you need to lift your hand to God and thank God for the wonderful things that He's done. Stop wondering about what God is going to do. Jesus said, and what would you have me to do for you? What would you have me to do for you? Folks, I want Him to give me the blessings of God. I want Him to fill me up with His glory. I want to have a heart full of charity. And I want to do His will at all times. I pray to God that I can be made the manifested will of God in a human body. I want to be like Jesus. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Let's lift our hands up and love Him tonight. Let's praise Him tonight, because this is camp meeting. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Lift up your voices tonight and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Fire singing and loving the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.